Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Do you think the computer's update, T-Bone, that's happening on your computer right now, that someone schedules that for 10 a.m. on weekdays? Why does that happen to us?
There's nothing going on.
When you log on, like yesterday, did it say something to the effect of postpone for one day and you just hit yes?
Oh, no, it's not my computer. It's T-Bone's.
Post Malone?
Oh, T-Bone.
Yeah, it's T-Bone. Well, the T-Bone one that plays the sound?
T-Bone probably did.
The one that said you're better now.
It feels like it's a frequent occurrence, like they've scheduled it for 10 a.m. Like, oh, stick the midday guys with it. That's what it feels like. It feels like we've been wronged in some way. How long do you think it will take? It's got a countdown?
Like we're up and running.
Oh, we're up and running now.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm fine.
You're good?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Because we want to play some sound for you. Zoe has made some astute observations, Hardy, as it relates to the things Bill Belichick has said in recent days.
All right.
He tells you something. Coach tells you something all the time when he talks. You just got to know what you're listening to. Got to read between the tea leaves, so to speak.
Is that the saying?
Read between the tea leaves.
Okay. Right?
You read the lines, but you read between the tea leaves.
Yeah.
Right.
Nailed
Same
it.
Thing.
Yeah. All right,
don't
good?
Start with me today. Yeah.
They're still not good. Well, we want to start with what Bill Belichick said after the game on Sunday.
Right.
This is really a sound-driven item here, so this is really a freaking problem.
I will say this in terms of the preamble. If you gleaned something from Bill Belichick's post-game press conference on Sunday, though, then you are doing a hell of a job of reading between the tea leaves. Because
Myers perked right up.
I heard him say next to nothing. I heard him say about all the areas that they needed improvement, but did a few things well, and that they did a few things well in practice, and that was it.
They got better.
They improved in some areas.
Said they got better
in practice
from a week ago.
That was the big thing on Sunday. That was had what you stuck upset out yesterday that, too.
Because I was angry after that game. Like I was like, they got their ass kicked, and it's like they didn't do anything all week. You know, it's like you completely regressed. From as bad as that Denver loss was. I mean, it was Drew Locke that came in here and beat you. Yeah, that sort of got me going in that direction. Then to hear that we got better since last week. How? Where? What area? Wasn't special teams. Wasn't defense. Defense regressed. You've taken Chase Winovich off the field even more than you did the week before. How do you get better? Who have you replaced him with? You've given up plays of 13, 14, 19, 23, 25, 38, but just you kept going. They give up more plays with 20 yards or more than they have in years.
So here he is Sunday, the comment that he made right after the game.
Yeah.
Hi, Bill. Last week, you...
Last week,
you mentioned that your team did practice this. And it looked like it on the field. How would you assess how well your team played and its improvement from last week's performance and getting back on the practice field and how you look today?
Yeah, I just did that. I think I just assessed that. We got better last week. We needed to get back on the practice field. We definitely got better. We improved in some areas. Didn't show up on the score. We still have a lot of work to do, but some of the things that we worked on were better. But we're still a long way from where we need to be. That's obvious.
So normally you need to see the film. Yeah, I just say, we just got out of there. We got to take a look at the film. You look at the film. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. But he puts it out there that there are some areas, man, we got better than we were last week. I can't think of one.
Well, I don't think he was saying in the game they were better. He's saying that during practice.
No, he said the score didn't indicate it. He's talking about the game. Play it again.
All right.
Score didn't indicate it. But we got better in some areas. And he basically, in that last quarter,
got back on the practice field.
Hands in his pockets.
We got better last week. We needed to get back on the practice field. We definitely got better.
We definitely got better.
Yeah, last week on the practice field.
He keeps going. He said the score didn't indicate that, though.
Right. So there was nothing better in the game. He's not trying to tell you that they were better in the game. He said we got better on the practice field, where it doesn't count.
See, because practice keeps coming up more and more here. Like, we need the reps. We need the walkthroughs. We need to practice because this team applies it better when they do that. Then that's a major issue then if you have that kind of egg laying after a week where you looked at 2 days of practice and your coach thought you got better as a team. The team didn't respond on Sunday. I don't know what the hell they're going to do this Sunday. I really don't. Like, normally in a spot, I'm like, oh, no question. Bounce back week. Picking them. I can't do that after Denver and then what transpired last week.
Well, no, that spot was last week.
Yeah. That spot gone.
Isn't the week for the bounce back.
Double secret bounce back.
She gone.
All
yeah.
Right, so let's hear what he said yesterday. And this is what I think got you upset again. I think you were upset a second time yesterday about Bill Belichick's statements. Because, Hardy, I do understand what you're saying, that he was talking specifically, it's possible, just about the practice being better, to which I would say I didn't think of it that way when I first heard it, because how could practice not get better? You went from no practice to having practice. Like,
maybe
Nikhil
Harry caught 20 balls in practice and then got knocked out early in this game.
I just heard it the same way Zoe did, which was like he thought, despite a disgraceful day on the field, they were better, which was sort of like,
score didn't indicate it, but that's something Chuck
Pagano, when you say
something Chuck Pagano would say when he was coaching the Colts.
All right, so let's hear it. Let's hear him yesterday. Here's Bill again.
Well, I'm focused on us improving and doing the best that we can and doing better than we've done. So we'll see where that puts us. I don't know, but we certainly need to improve from where we are, and we will.
He also said, things along the lines of we got outcoached, we got outplayed, we didn't do anything well. All that stuff sort of happened.
Yeah, and maybe some of these coaches aren't taking enough critique. We get on the players because the players play the game. Maybe the play calling, maybe getting away from the run early in that game.
You think the two things,
not running cam
over two days, sort of contradict each other?
Yeah, a little bit.
We got better, and then to say we didn't do anything well.
That means, you went in there with a really bad game plan in. Like, you weren't ready. You thought you were ready, but you weren't. But it's almost now like he realizes it. Like, we'll be better because I'm going to make sure we're better. He's a damn good coach. And maybe he's going to take some stuff out of some people's hands. Who knows?
And take on more of the load?
Yeah. I'll let you call defense. I'll let you make this personnel groupings. I'll let you do this rotation. I'm going to tell you what we're going
to
roll with.
Well, this brings us to another question. Do you believe the Patriots coaching staff has depth like it's had in some other years?
No.
When I think of the coaching staff now, I think of it as being sort of thin.
You got a lot of young guys out there in new spots that they've moved around. For the most part, early in the year, you liked what you saw from the offensive line. So you got two new guys in there that have been around, have been under Scar. But it's still, you don't have Scarnecchia, who's been in the league 40 years and knows the adjustments better than anybody, in between series. It's
like, just in terms of number of coaches, the sheer number of coaches is not a large number for the Patriots, is it?
I just go back to...
Or is it on par with other teams?
I mean, I see the shuffling. Like, you see the Belichick brothers. Like, they've moved Steve to inside linebackers. You know, Brian goes to secondary, you know, goes from... Like, and they'll take the kid to play lacrosse. They'll put him on the receivers. You know, it's like you bounce from group to group. And I know you become a better coach doing that. But I remember when I was in the league, it was... Ray Perkins is our coordinator. He's the quarterback coach. Same thing with Dick Corey. Defensive coordinator was Al Groh. Maurice Carthon, he coached the running backs. He didn't coach tight ends. Charlie Weiss coached the tight ends. But then he did move Charlie around. So Charlie coached running backs, tight ends, and receivers. It's usually only like one guy that'll bounce. But for the most part, Mike Swetman or like a Joe Judge, you're a special teams coordinator. And you stay there. Like most guys in the league during my time when I played, I know the league has changed and there's influx and, you know, guys bounce around more, but you had your staff. Like when Parcells would go to team, he'd bring his staff with him. Fred Hoagland was the O-line coach. Maurice Carthon, he was coaching backs here. He coached them down in Dallas. You know, you didn't bounce grouping to grouping. And maybe some of that has affected them. They're okay, heads swiveling. I got a guy... Maybe he doesn't tell me how to adjust as well as other guys do. You got new young guys learning on the fly. Instead of a guy that's been there for 12 years, like, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to adjust. We're going to do this. And this is the way it's going to be. Like, you remember when, what's the guy's name from Arkansas? The D-line coach, big guy.
Bielema.
Brett Bielema was here. Bielema. So after each series, Brett Bielema.
There you go.
There it is. Brett Bielema. Gerard Mayo and Steve Belichick would all huddle with Bill and we'd meet after each series. And Bill would be sort of, you know, the choir director. And this is what we're doing. This is, you know, we need to sort of teach them. And they were learning on the fly,
too. Bill left and went to the Giants.
And then you start delegating, responsibility to guys and what groupings you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where the problem lies, to where now maybe Bill's going to be more on one knee next week in Buffalo. Front of the defense.
So he has to take on more of the responsibilities because maybe he just doesn't have the same quality or same depth of staff he's had in other years.
When he says we'll be better, that means he's going to fix something. Yeah. Yeah, I gotta do something.
It's a real test now for him.
It is. This is it. Your season hinges on this game.
Whole game.
Back in the
whole
division.
Season on this game. You're right, so. You're absolutely right.
Uncharted waters.
Something we hit on late in the show yesterday.
Mid-season.
Was you say they weren't prepared to play that game. They also got physically manhandled. Out there on the field.
I went.
And you went back and watched some tape last night. We're going to talk about that and why this was that the Patriots physically got their ass kicked as well as getting their ass kicked on the scoreboard. We'll talk about that. Your calls, of course, everything you had on this game. We got through a lot of calls yesterday. We'll do it all over again today if you didn't get through. 617-779-0985. The Patriots facing a game this week that could decide the entire direction of their season. We'll talk more about it. Your calls next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So you went back, you watched a little bit of the game last night, you saw some other breakdowns, Ted Johnson, Phil Perry, etc., NBC Sports Boston. You've been watching all kinds of things related to this game.
Teddy and Phil really good at circling some plays and running them through. And when you design runs and you have four people in unison in timing of pulling and trapping and blocking and cutting, it was a clinic. It was a textbook clinic. And maybe Belichick's talking about this too. We will be better. Because you know why? I put their ass in pads this week. You're in full pads hitting today. You hit today. You can't get your teeth kicked in the way you got them kicked in and nobody hit back last week. He talks about effort, effort. Is effort there when you're ducking your head and missing a guy? That's not 100%. It's not guessing the wrong way. It's not Lauren Malloy coming off this hash, knocking your head into the next second row because you tiptoe as you're going out of bounds. Nobody hit Deebo Samuel back. He's a receiver. He's not Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's another story. That boy's a man. He's big. 6'5", 255, size 14 feet.
Coming full speed.
Running downhill.
That's going to hurt.
I would expect him to run you over.
Yep.
Earl Thomas, one of the toughest guys in the league. That guy almost decapitated Gronkowski. He got treated like a little boy. Derrick Henry's a man.
So you don't think Ayuk or Deebo were the kind of players that should be absolutely pummeling defensive backs?
The scary thing
is... Or even
is,
linebackers at times?
The scary thing is you hear the cracks and the pops more with less of a crowd, with no crowd, and you hear the chatter, the You heard a lot of that after hits.
Oh, the sideline?
Taunting.
The sideline taunting by Deebo was... when that happened, you're like, oh, my God, that's it. That's the embarrassing stuff.
Boom, boom.
That is...
Four guys pinned on that run.
That's the embarrassing stuff that I think Devin McCourty has to be talking about, right?
We can't get blocked like that. You can't get blocked without... That's hand-to-hand combat. That's hit shed with your hands. That's not being ready to go.
Jonathan Jones flat on his back. Yikes.
Well, I mean, that's Juszczyk on him. So look at this. Look at Jennings getting squared up. Look at Deebo Samuel blocking Gilmore.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to make a play there.
Yeah, so I just wonder if it's something else beyond just...
Going through the motions.
Like, that's a mental thing.
To me, that's going through the motions.
That they showed up and looked like they were going through the motions.
Yes.
Why? What's going on?
It steamrolls. I don't know.
Is it COVID? Is it the fact that there were a lot of uncertainties over the last few weeks?
Or I don't think so.
Is it because they're mentally somewhere else?
Because
they have a losing record? Is it because they had a bad week of practices? Which Bill Belichick told you they were much better practicing.
Okay, so we're two weeks out of that.
They didn't practice the week before, though. So when he says, we had a better week practicing, all you had to do was physically be there, and it was going to be a better week of practice.
Fair.
I would ask this question of the players. Did you feel like you had a better week of practice? Did you feel like when you were on the field that you were a part of a team that had a real chance to go into the game and win on Sunday? Are you lacking in confidence as a team right now? What does it stem from? And there was another clip with Bill talking about practice from yesterday's, though.
Yeah.
T-Bone, if we could fire that off, you'll hear this because something was gleaned from this. Zoe's reading into this one from Bill Belichick on practice. Talking about practice. I just wonder, is there something going on beyond just X's and O's and getting ready for the San Francisco 49ers that made this team look flat?
I didn't see anybody get excited on Sunday. That's concerning. Sideline was dead. San Francisco sideline, the team that got on the plane and flew across the country came in and was excitable. They get excited on Sunday.
Because you've asked for multiple weeks now. You've said, does this team need a crowd or something? Why is it that they just don't look up for it? They don't look engaged.
Okay, it's
do they need some sort of juice that they don't have right now?
It's got to be tough without going out there. And Bill even said at the beginning of the year, what would you compare this to? And he said practice, a game environment. The head coach said that. It's down. It's a down environment. And for them to get out there and play, it's a credit to some of these teams. You watch those teams last night. You watch the Rams. Just methodical. Boom. Speed. Coming in and out of the huddle. We're going to jog out of the huddle. Then we're going to hurry up and get set. And then we're going to catch them off guard and throw a touchdown pass. Speed going everywhere. Sweeps. Crisscrosses. Everything. That team looked ready to go.
Here's Bill on practice.
Hi, Bill. Cam said this morning that maybe he's thinking too much. And he said that he's also pressing. How do you deal with the mental side of something like that? Is it taking it to the practice field? Is it the reps? Is it the repetition over and over to gain the confidence that you need?
Yeah, again, practice reps are a good place to start, Dan. You can do it on the practice field, then that increases your chances of being able to do it in game situations considerably. So, we'll continue to work for preparation off the field and then execution on the field, and hope that that execution on the practice field carries over to in-game execution.
So you think that answer went beyond just Cam Newton?
Yeah, tell us about the team. They may not be executing in practice. And maybe he's not floored by that.
He's not caught off guard by it.
Nick, well, that's a great place. That's a good point by you, because if we execute in practice, that has the ability to carry over on a Sunday then. So, I mean, if you're out there and you're slopping around and you're looking like you don't know where you're going with the ball, or you're dropping balls in practice, or you're not separating, or defensively you're standing around going through the motions, you're going to do that on Sunday. They may get taken to the woodshed these 2 days in practice. You're not throwing them a bone. See, interesting.
What is that?
Maybe less music at practice. You know, you've sort of been feeding the team, you know? Hey, let's go. Let's get our stride and stretch.
What's it get there?
I mean, we get the early pictures from practice, right?
Yeah.
Cam hasn't been dancing too much.
Okay, well, he's been losing games.
Okay.
What's he have to celebrate at the moment?
But he's still supposed to be the energy guy, the leader. Like, all of a sudden, you're supposed to change your... He talked about his own aura the other night.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like... Well, create yourself again. Be you. Be that guy that was dancing.
Cam has lost confidence?
I think he's lost confidence.
You think the team is then... And as a result of that, looking at him, lose confidence.
Who voted
in him
captain? Team. You know, so, attitude reflect leadership, captain.
Maybe they're watching Cam Newton play in practice, and they see what he did on the field in the game on Sunday was happening in practice, and they thought, our season's going down the tubes. Is that a possibility? Maybe that's where the crisis in confidence comes from. Oh, no. Our quarterback situation stinks. Oh, no. Our guys just aren't into this. Oh, damn. There are guys questioning why they're still out here while they watch some of their other former teammates or still teammates, but guys that were here a year ago that aren't here now, like Dante Hightower or Patrick Chung or name whoever it is you want to name.
But then if that, like, that whole Cam thing at the beginning when he came in and took over the practices, and he's the guy out there having fun, the energy, the constant energy comments and interviews that we did all through August, that's all they talked about. Every time you open up the damn Twitter thing, Mike Reese talked about his energy. Cam again, there he is. The camera guys, NBC Sports Boston, they got him dancing all around. He's running circles around Stidham as they're trying to do the knee things, the stretching, all that. And if the second that thing stops and you're a different person, you're like, well, what's different here? Why are you down? Get up. Pick yourself up. That's where you got to be the leader. He's got to go out. He's got to play well. I was rooting for him to play well last week. That's why I was so angry. And now all of a sudden you're thinking too much? You're the veteran. You're not Jared Stidham going in there getting thrown in 33-6. And now all of a sudden I'm a little nervous and I'm going to throw a pick right away. That's what young guys do. He's got to come out humming. And that's on Josh too to get the ball out of his hands. Give him a quick bang route, spot route, boom, put it on him. 1, 2, 3, foot hits, go. Get it out. And if it's not there, run. Need to get him running again. Why don't you set the edge with him? RPOs. You have five backs. Use the running backs. Running backs, what's the strength of your football team? Your defensive backfield and your running backfield. Run the ball. They got to commit to the run. Even if it's a 10-0 game, you can't abandon it and put him in a gun. And it's Demir Byrd and I'm telling you, it's going to be Jacoby Myers probably this week. And the way Nikhil looked, and some of the stuff now you're hearing, he had history of head stuff in high school and that. I don't anticipate him being ready to go.
Do you think that Bill Belichick was
they quickly took him in, was in the locker room.
Upset about the loss as he would have been in a typical year? To go back to Bill at the start of this segment, what he said that right after the game to what he said yesterday.
He may now understand the preparation on offense and what he had prior with Brady that you didn't have to worry about that now he may have to worry about.
Let me simplify that. Is he flat? Is Bill flat? Like, his team is flat right now.
Bill may know the team's dead. But it ain't over. because you get Buffalo and Jets.
I mean, technically, it's not over.
You win these two, it's 4-4. And now you start to get life again.
Is the coach flat? Is the quarterback flat? Where's the energy? Where is it? And are they truly treating it like any other season?
I think 4 weeks ago, I think he had extremely high hopes for this quarterback. Like, oh, man, we got to find here.
Maybe his players see it. Maybe they see his hope.
Man, we
got
to find here, and then maybe we really found out what the real Cam is. You know, after about 4 weeks, where this is really who he is. This is maybe why everybody's like, well, how the hell is he sitting there until the end of June? Nobody touched him. Maybe this is why. And maybe you caught fire for 2 weeks. And
I think there's an example of a star player on this team who is checked out this year. I've mentioned it. This will not be the first time I've mentioned this about Stephon Gilmore. Oh. But let's talk about Stephon Gilmore and some of the statistics that back up his poor performances to this point, where he ranks currently among corners in the NFL. We'll get to that. It's a bad year so far for him. 617-779-0985. Your phone calls as well. Hardy has our headline.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Now,
if you want to get weird sometime together,
Zolak and Bertrand.
Back then, you knew not to touch it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's tough. It's tough for all of us. You know, used to playing in front of a lot of fans, and you know, hearing the crowd and going out and competing. It's just that energy, but you know, we have to bring our own energy. We have to. When we make plays, we have to, you know, cheer each other on and try to find other ways to, you know, bring that sense of urgency and the energy back. Sometimes the fans does it when you make a play, but, you know, we got each other. And we the ones playing in between the lines, and we got to support each other and trust each other and be our own fans.
Stephon Gilmore here on Zolak and Bertrand a couple of weeks ago now.
Sounds like at one caller that
was
call
it last
a week
week
ago.
Or the week before? Which week was it?
It was last week.
Last week. Sorry.
And Jones flushed him. He flushed on Jones.
Yes.
Who was the caller? Carl? Hey, guys. How you doing? You guys, what's going on? That's all it's. They sound the same all the time.
What's
remember
up,
the
guys?
Communication.
Mike Giardi, NFL Network. Friend of the show, I would say.
Oh, did you see he had
frequent
the one-on-one with Garoppolo?
Oh,
he had to go change his pants.
His guy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah. You think that's Gilmore's cousin or something? Friend?
Somewhere.
At Mike Giardi on Twitter.
Rabbit.
Mike Giardi tweeted this last night. The Patriots have seen many issues rear their ugly heads over the last several weeks. Mm. This one surprised me, even though I knew by sight it hasn't been as in the past. And I would agree with that. I've been talking about this for a few weeks now. I don't think this player has stepped up. I don't think this player has made the impact that he could be making because he is a star on this team. The defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore. He says Steph Gilmore has allowed a passer rating of 100.9, which is the fourth worst among NFL cornerbacks who have played at least 50% of their team snaps. Fourth worst among corners in the league. That is not defensive player of the year material. That is not who he was a year ago. He added on this, by the way, Mike Giardi, NFL Network. John Jones has been targeted 40 times, Gilmore 24. And he does say Gilmore has been getting more respect lately than he was earlier in the year. 19 targets over the first four games, 6 over the last two. But that statistic might back up what your eyes have told you about Stephon Gilmore this year. And when he's talking about the energy, as he did here on this show, and we're talking about the energy of the team and not wanting to go out and get manhandled and beat down the way the Patriots did on Sunday, which is not all just execution. Part of that is mentally, where are you? What's your mindset going into the game? I don't think his mindset's been the best this year. And I think some of that might have to do with the money and the contract situation? And was there a potential holdout that was going on during camp? The team has reportedly tried to shop him on two different occasions, before the draft and again during training camp. The team, for all we know, could be shopping him right now. So it might not be the most comfortable and secure situation for him right now. And it looks like at times he is not fully engaged. And I think that that is a concern for the Patriots. I don't think he's got a long-term future here. And I think the Patriots might be picking up the phone right now and saying to other teams, listen, he just needs a change of scenery. He's the same guy. He'll be great for you.
Does it feel like the Butler year? Like the Butler's
last year? I mentioned that to you this morning. Yeah. Remember when Butler was in his final year and he had things that were distracting him related to his contract?
He was giving up a lot of big plays. He was giving up big plays.
I will say this, though. Gilmore is not what Butler turned into that year. Butler did not have a good year at all.
No. But right? Look, see,
I mean, he struggled early.
See, and I know Steph struggled earlier, but like the last two games, he only had like six targets, I think, in his waist. So, I mean, that speaks. He's
to respect.
He's so good that he could turn it around that quickly.
But over the course of the year, it has not been great.
They were better up front last year, too. See, that's part of it, too. So it's like complimentary, your front end to your back end. And when your front end's not good and you can't generate the pressure, those guys in the back end, they can't cover forever.
And a guy who's 30, though, and wants another contract, is he going to put himself in harm's way?
Yeah, you'd want to play hard. I'd want to play hard if I was him. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you say that maybe subconsciously that starts to creep in? Like,
well, I think maybe the part
I'm not going to stick my head in there.
Not feeling like you're a contender.
We're 2-4. I don't need to risk my future for this bad team. I've got my rings.
Wasn't much run support.
I got to focus on being healthy to get that next contract.
Not much run support from the corners this past week.
Yeah, you said that yesterday, too. Yeah.
Like Adrian Phillips was even flying around 2 weeks ago, looking to knock people's heads off in that Denver game. They were just unsure of everything, I think, in this game. Maybe it was the multiple formations. Maybe you just got your ass out game planned. Shanahan that good? Shanahan's that good that in 2 days you get out game plan your ass like that? Or they just have that much speed and you can't counter it? Good fullback, good backs, good receivers, good great tight end. And you can almost say great receivers. Those are good, great receivers. Those guys catch the ball and run with it. They run like running backs. You going to face another team that uses receivers like running backs? Probably not. Chiefs. The Chiefs do that, and they look to get out of bounds. They don't look to drop their shoulder and run your ass over. That was a startling point for me. Because I think guy like Gilmore's even a physical. He's physical. Like, he and Edelman went at it in practice a lot. Like, they don't like each other in practice, but they get each other ready to play. And he does seem at times like to be going through the motions a little bit.
617-779-0985. Stan's in Medfield. Hey, Stan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Stan.
So you kind of sounded a little surprised when you opened up the show kind of talking about Cam Newton. Like, this has been his attitude his entire career. When the Patriots signed him, the Patriots fans knew what they were getting.
Well,
were getting
I'm trying to be fair to him, Stan, because I didn't know the player. I mean, I've called games against him. He's a hell of a – when things are right, it seems like –
Yeah, when things are right, he's jumping up and down and hooting and hollering on the sidelines. But when the chips are down, he folds. He's never been that type of player that goes onto the field and is out there and says, all right, guys, we're down by 10. We can come back. When he's down, he's down. He isn't one of those type of players that can bring you back in the game. He has no leadership. And you knew what you were getting when you signed him.
If that's the case, and moving away from the other guy that you had at the position, and there's a lot of players on this team that were on this team last year, how the hell do you vote him captain? How do you know through no games that this is the guy that leads us to the promise?
Well, like
this,
because I've told you before, I think the captain voting is rigged anyway.
That's a bad one on Bill.
Well, no, not if he's invested in making it work and sort of propping him up to be the guy.
But it was right for that. I mean, he looked great from the beginning.
And showing everybody you should have confidence in this guy. He's the guy.
And he looked the part. Things were trending that way.
Sort of wagging the dog there, you know? It's like, no, he's the captain. Therefore, you should be excited about him being here. His leadership. Follow him. He's a leader.
It was a quick captain. Like, he had the greatest of all time for 20 years, and then bang, the next guy to follow him is the captain. It's unusual.
Former league MVP. Guy played in the Super Bowl.
Edelman's not.
He's had a pretty good career.
You see what I'm saying? Like, Edelman's not the captain.
Where do you think he's at? because he don't look like he's loving life right now.
I think he knows what's right and what's wrong. He's seen how it should be done.
I think the problem for him is Cam Newton does not suit his abilities. You mentioned, was it you yesterday that said, what if Julian Edelman wanted to go to Tampa Bay right now?
Yeah.
Right? And
I didn't say that. Somebody else said that.
Okay, it was someone. No. Thought somebody had said that. But if he were to say, you know, I want to go play in Tampa Bay, and the Patriots were in this fantasy world willing to trade him to Tampa Bay, and he went there,
yeah,
I still think he could be effective with Tom Brady.
Sure he could.
Quite a bit.
Sure he could.
Because Tom Brady sort of suits what he can
going.
Do.
He's an adrenaline guy.
And I also think that there is a, you know, you saw it on the pick that Cam threw to Edelman on Sunday. There are options in some of these routes that Edelman runs that him and Brady are on the same page always.
Like Edelman turns. I watched that thing. Edelman turned. That's when I yell on the call. Give it to him. He turns to look for the ball.
Right.
Like he sets the defender. Then the head whips around and there's the hands. Like he should have the ball right there. He catches. Then he's up inside. Gets the first down.
But
he's short of the sticks.
Cam doesn't have that with him yet. And may never have it with him.
And that's on Josh. You've got to instruct that. He's your best receiver. If he's open on a bang route, he's got to have it. Like, now. Like, you even said, didn't it look more like the Patriots' old offense than the RPO stuff that they were mixing in and out?
Yeah, but Cam is not built for. This is not how you want to use Cam Newton.
Yeah, then coach that.
What we said when they signed him, we said they're going to adapt to him. There's no other way to do this. And then in the early games, they did. And it worked.
Jesus,
they got away from it this week.
He and Edelman in Seattle were like inseparable. Even the deep stuff. Quick stuff, deep, hit two deep ones to him. I don't know. Maybe you're starting to find out who the real Cam is.
Maybe.
Maybe that's part of the team problem.
Or you're just not using him correctly. The real Cam is the guy you saw in Seattle or the guy you saw in the first week against Miami, and you're not using him the same way anymore.
I mean, he's giving you
good. Go back to that.
He's giving you good audio. He's giving you good interview. Like, he's the accountable guy. That's on me. I got to play better.
Want some good news? You want a ray of sunshine?
I just turn that frown upside down.
B-Rob is here.
He got a haircut.
Did he?
I asked him how much he paid for that, and he said, do you think I got it for free? I said, I hope so.
Wait, what?
$8. I mean,
$8 haircut.
All right.
That's a cost cutter.
B Rob went back and did some statistical analysis. There is hope. There is a chance. You're saying there's a chance for the New England Patriots to be in the playoffs this year. B Rob's going to give us the research from the research department. That's next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
This hour, Zolak and Bertrand, brought to you by Awaken 180. Might make excuses why not to lose weight, but there's 10 times the reasons to drop the weight. Let your excuses and weight go with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Hit the post.
10:53 here on Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Make sure you download the app at 98.5thesportshub.com. Stream us, take us wherever you go. Thanks for being here. Want a good little piece of you're so offbeat there. I'm sorry. That was so distracting.
Sad.
All right, you want a little ray of sunshine from B-Rob? Where is he?
Is he at?
Back there? B-Rob? I don't see
he's
him.
There. He's there. He's sideways, so
I
you can't see him.
I don't see you, B-Rob. I don't see you.
Over.
You just missed a great Morgan line.
Is he ready to go? Does he have his statistics on 2-4 teams ready to go? Oh, not at all.
He's kind of got that Curious George hair.
Has he been listening to the show today at all? Has he...
Is he, very little. You want, he's
he,
been in and
he out. Looks like the Patriots defense right now. Completely checked out. Where
he's,
are you?
He's writing about Gordon Hayward.
He's down there working the trade machine for how many different ways the Celtics can move Gordon Hayward.
He's making the numbers match.
All right, forget it, B-Rob. I'll have to get to your stats without you then.
Mm.
He writes, out of curiosity, did some research on teams in the last decade that have made the NFL playoffs after starting the year with a 2-4 record. There have been six teams over the last 10 years to do it. Now, the downfall there is it's only 5% of the playoff teams during that span. He says, so here are those teams by year. There are teams that started 2-4 that then went on to make the playoffs just last year. The Tennessee Titans started the year 2-4. In 2016.
I was going to guess Seahawks. That's good.
The Dolphins were 2-4. In 2015. The Chiefs started out 1-5 and made
amazing.
The playoffs.
That's amazing.
The Seahawks were 2-4 in 2015, as were the Redskins 2-4. They're now the Washington football team, by the way. 2011, Broncos 2-4. That's a lot of teams.
Yeah.
That's way more than I thought.
It really is.
It's way more than
Six
I thought.
Six teams have done it, and I will add this. There is now one more team allowed in the playoffs every year.
The Titans have beat your ass last year in the playoffs, did it?
Which should increase the chances. So
that's what Bill's shown them.
All hope is not gone.
Hey, guys, remember that team that came in here and beat us last year? Wild card weekend? Tennessee?
B-Rob, thanks for being here, bud. Thanks for stepping up. I like the research.
Good non-basketball stat, B-Rob.
Thought maybe you nice. Could, thank you. He doesn't even jump on mic. Just gives us a thumbs up. All right. Oh, I tried. 617-779-0985. John is in Connecticut today. Hey, John.
Hey, so first of all, Beto, I'll take your advice and ask Hardy, what would he offer Cam Newton for next year and the following year? And then also, why are you guys constantly so butthurt on Tom Brady when you guys both know that if Brady was still here this year, this team would not be 2-4. It'd probably be more likely 4-2 or 5-1. Because when he was here, you guys kept, you know, singing his praises of all the intangibles that he had, of how he makes everybody better. So why would that change now?
Because he left.
What show are you listening to?
No, listen, we've taken a lot of crap here in the last 24 hours because we think it's, I have, and Hardy has, because we believe it's laughable that Tom Brady is so enamored with Antonio Brown. Who is the last guy I'd want on my team? It's the last guy I wanted on the Patriots last year. I thought the Patriots were wrong. And guess what? They were. They were wrong. It was a bad move that blew up right in their face.
Did they need him, though? They needed him. They had to do something.
No, they didn't need him.
Okay, but I'm saying
they needed a receiver.
They needed an impact player. They knew they needed an impact player.
We don't need to relitigate this, but I can tell you that move prevented them from doing other things last season.
Sure.
Okay? So it blew up in their face in a big way.
They rolled the dice.
Yeah.
At least they rolled the dice.
Yeah, they rolled the dice with a rigged pair of dice, and they should have known it, that they were going to get scammed on that one. So that's all there is. I think it's gross. That Brady wants that guy on his team so badly when he hasn't even had his full team healthy.
Brady said he didn't have anything to do with it. Brady said he didn't have anything to
do with it. He's a liar. I don't believe him. I don't believe that. I'm sorry. I don't find that to be truthful. If he said that, I have not heard those comments, but you told me he said that.
Yeah.
And if he did say that, I don't believe
him.
We're
efforting those to get that.
That's a sports fib.
Yeah.
That's what that is. So.
No, we can skip over it. Is there another call? Yeah, we don't have to get to the first part of it.
What money would you give Cam now? What's their price now?
What is that?
Well, he's becoming more cost effective every week. I think his price tag has probably gone down here in the last couple of weeks.
Like, give me a number.
And I've said yesterday, if Brady were here, I think they could be 2-4. I mean, 4-2. I do believe that.
Yeah.
I think they could have won Kansas City.
Yep.
And they would have won against Denver.
Lost Seattle. Yeah.
Those to me are two games that they win. Seattle would have been a disaster because they would not have been as close in that Seattle game with Brady. He would have shut it down.
Yeah.
Like he did at times last year. But I don't think Brady would be happy here right now. In fact, he's not even fully happy with his compliment in Tampa Bay. He felt the need to go out and get Antonio Brown.
I think it's difficult for Cam to play right now without a long-term contract. And I think had you given him, say, the $7 million for this year and you know, $25 million next year and maybe even the year after that, like I had proposed a couple of weeks ago, he might be playing with more confidence and security. And I think you would have seen better performances out of him over these last 2 weeks. So we can, look, we can Tuesday morning quarterback this all you want. But that window is closed now. Now I'm afraid, you know, there won't be any talks, and you've really shot yourself in the foot.
Yeah,
I think he would have played much better had he been offered a contract here in the last couple of weeks.
We've got
but
a full...
they messed up by not offering him the deal.
So they blew it, yeah.
Yeah, the Patriots blew it. You should have given him the money a couple of weeks ago. He'd be playing better.
We've got a full board of football calls. We will continue with those right after the headlines. We're right back.
Call.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.